Chapter 7.
Yes, master!
Cersei squealed one last time before she collapsed on the bed.
Oh, Satan, that was absolutely amazing. I can still see fucking stars.
And I don't think I have a drop of cum left in me. I panted as the snake-eyed witch curled up next to me. God, you drained me fucking dry.
And I am packed full of your delicious seed.
The blonde Wicca sighed in a dreamlike voice as she began to trace her finger along the scar on my chest.
What a perfect night. Oh, too bad it has to end. Now, what did you want to talk to me about?
After a long, passionate night, I'd nearly forgotten about my dire conversation with Theodora, and I took in a steady breath and looked toward the window as I twirled my fingers through Cersei's long, blonde locks. A bright orange light slowly peered through the stained glass, and I knew it was time to meet with the others and Theodora. I may not have had a full night's rest, but I was wide awake with adrenaline and determination. "Go and wait for me in the common room," I ordered as Cersei blinked slowly at me. "But first wake up the others and bring them with you. Then, I promise, I'll tell you everything."
"Yes, master."
The serpentine witch responded before she crawled off the bed and quickly began to pick up her undergarments.
"Is there anything else I should warn them about? You have this glint in your eyes."
Yes. Tell them to be quick," I added as I sprung from the bed. "We'll be meeting with the headmistress shortly, and we can't be late."
"Shit. This sounds pretty important,"
Cersei commented with wide, grass-green eyes.
"And I can't tell if I'm excited or nervous."
"It is important. It might be the most difficult quest we've embarked on yet."
"A quest? Well then, I won't waste another moment."
The blonde Wicca planted a kiss on my lips and headed for the door.
"I'll see you shortly, master."
"See you." I smiled. When I was alone and standing, naked, by the bed, I looked up toward the ceiling and rubbed the knots out of my neck. As wonderful as last night was, my entire body ached, and I was incredibly sore.
"Perhaps a quick bath will soothe your ache, sir?"
Cordelia's shrill voice echoed through the air.
"I'm sure 10 minutes will suffice."
"That would be marvelous, Cordelia," I said with a long, grateful sigh. "I think I'll be needing it. Despite the nice night of sex, my entire body feels like it's been twisted into intricate knots."
"Oh, I'm sure it does. But no matter, I can mend you right up."
In seconds, I could hear the bathtub running with hot water. And by the time I stepped into the bathroom, the candle lights flickered on and multicolored flower petals were floating on the surface. The room smelled of spiced cinnamon and sweet lavender, and a thick mist swept through the entire space. When I slowly stepped into the tub, all my muscles instantly relaxed. And suddenly, I didn't feel so exhausted. In fact, I could already feel my body mending and growing stronger. "Is this another special concoction of yours, Cordelia?" I asked with a lopsided grin. "You certainly do have a talent for baths. I already feel like Satan reborn."
"Why, as a matter of fact, it is a new experiment of mine. It's so wonderful to have someone appreciate my arduous work. I may be dead, but manners still count, you know. And most people who use me tend to take advantage and forget I have feelings."
"But of course," I chuckled as I scrubbed myself clean. "And as much as I would love to simmer in this water for hours, I should hurry. Theodora asked me not to be late."
"Oh, but she's still dressing, sir. No need to rush just yet. I can let you know when you need to start dressing if you like."
"Wait," I said as I continued to wash every inch of my body. "How do you know she's still dressing?"
"Well, I know what everyone is doing at all times of the day and night. It's both a blessing and a curse."
"I can imagine. How many people do you serve in total, if you don't mind me asking?"
"All the professors, the headmistress, and yourself, but mostly you."
"Am I the only student you serve?" I asked, even though I wasn't that surprised.
"Well, sometimes I serve your coven breakfast, but that's mostly for your benefit, sir. But yes, you're the only student. Theodora's orders."
"Speaking of the headmistress," I said as I brushed the water out of my eyes, "what is she doing now? Should I be getting out?"
Well, she's putting her hair up now in a simple and practical updo. So, yes, perhaps it's time to get dressed, if you don't mind me saying.
No, not at all. I appreciate it. Without wasting a moment, I stepped out of the tub and quickly wrapped a thick towel around my waist before I padded back inside the bedroom. There was a fresh outfit laid out for me, and once I was dressed, I pushed back my wet hair and headed for the door.
Good luck, sir,
Cordelia said as I turned the doorknob.
I hope to see you again very soon.
I'm sure you will. I smiled. Goodbye for now, and take care of yourself.
You too, sir,
she replied as I stepped out the door.
May Satan be with you.
I quickly headed down the stairs and didn't look up until I reached the common room. When I lifted my head to look around, all the women and their familiars were already waiting for me, and each woman's face curled into a deep, confused frown when they turned to face me.
Master!
Akira was the first to say as she stroked Damien on his scale-covered head.
What's going on? Is everything all right? All Cersei told us was that you needed to tell us something. Does it have something to do with class? Oh, Satan, our class is going to be suspended because of the banquet massacre? Of course, that would be your first assumption, nerd.
Akira teased with a small, playful smirk.
But in all seriousness, Master, what the hell is going on? Snake Eyes didn't give us much to go on.
We've been summoned for another mission, I explained as their eyes widened with surprise. But this time I'm afraid I have no idea when we will return.
What?
The women all cried out at once.
What do you mean, Master? What about classes? Does this mean school mats is shutting down?
Faye questioned as her ferret crawled around her neck like a white scarf.
Where will the dragons go? Who will take care of them? What about my potions? Will I have to leave them behind? Master.
Vesta purred as her silver snake slithered around her hourglass waist.
We mean no disrespect by questioning you, but I'm afraid I have to repeat Morgana's question. What do you mean we don't know when we'll return? Scholomance is our home. He means you've all been chosen to carry out one of the most important tasks of all Wicca time.
A familiar voice echoed by the doorway.
And you should be honored, not bombarding him with the same old questions.
When we turned our heads, Professor Vanessa stood at the threshold in a deep-colored but plain peasant-style dress. Her dark, straight hair was pulled back into a bun, and her face was bare and alarmingly pale. Her familiar, Isabel, was close by her side, and the wolf's blue eyes shone with the same disdain as her master's.
Professor Vanessa, we didn't see you there. Good morning?
Well, of course you didn't see me here.
Vanessa snapped as she stepped into the room.
Per usual, you were too busy gawking over your beloved master. Easy there, Vanessa.
Theodora's voice purred from behind the ill-tempered professor.
If you're going to be tagging along, then I suggest you learn to exhibit some patience. Satan knows with your temper you're going to need it.
Our mouths all gaped open at once when those surprising words left the headmistress's lips, and I took a long moment to stare at Theodora like I had misheard her. Vanessa, joining us in our quest? I just couldn't believe it. I'm sorry, headmistress, but did you say Vanessa would be tagging along?
As in, she'll, like, be joining us?
Nyx questioned haltingly with bulging eyes.
Obviously, that's what it means.
Vanessa barked with impatient eyes.
What else does the phrase entail? Satan, please give me strength. But are you feeling well enough to travel with us, Professor? I mean no disrespect, but you aren't looking your best, and that dull dress isn't helping matters at all. You should have gone with a paler color. The dark hue only brings out the sallowness of your usually fair and radiant skin. Firstly, Miss Vesta, I feel much better, thanks to a special charm concocted by Professor Olivia. Secondly, I am wearing this dress because of where we're going. We're going to have to blend in, and if that means dressing in dull garbs, so be it. Well, where are we going?
Cersei questioned as she blankly stared at Vanessa and Theodora.
All we know is that we're supposedly about to embark on the most important journey of all time, or something along those lines. You are.
Theodora nodded firmly as she looked around the room.
Seems we're missing two more members. Please, just wait one moment.
Before any of the women could press her for more information, the headmistress snapped her fingers, and a cloud of purple smoke suddenly burst to life in the middle of the common room. When the haze cleared, Beatrix and Marina stood there in their black silk pajamas, and they were both clearly confused and surprised.
Satan!
Beatrix gasped as she pushed back her light brown hair.
What's going on? One moment, I was in my bed dreaming about flounder and tuna, and the next I was here.
Marina added, as she looked around with wide, confused eyes.
Oh no. Are you sending me back into the ocean, or am I still dreaming? No, Miss Marina. Please, ladies, take a seat with the others and allow me to explain what's going on.
Marina and Beatrix didn't bother to ask twice before they sat down on the sofa, and all eyes turned to stare at the headmistress and her daughter.
Good. Now listen carefully. As I told Cole last night, the banquet massacre was enacted by an abominable woman named Samara. She was once a Wicca, but turned to the light of the elders, and now it is clear she has set her sights on Scholomance. She will stop at nothing to see the fall of the Wicca era, and the only way to stop her is by collecting 3 blessed artifacts, all hidden away in different corners of the world.
And once each one has been collected, only then can they be destroyed. It's the only way to stop Samara and save Scholomance. A heavy silence filled the room, and as the witches all stared at each other with wide, surprised eyes, Vanessa sighed and began to impatiently tap her foot.
Mother, we should get a move on. Agreed.
Theodora remarked as she eyed each of us.
Now with that out of the way, those uniforms of yours simply will not do. Oh no, we're going to have to give you something a little more... dull, I believe, is the word Miss Vesta used. Oh, Satan. Why can't we ever travel in furs and silks? Because life's tough shit.
Vanessa snapped with flared nostrils.
Now stand up and hold still, all of you. Come on, we don't have all day.
We rose to our feet without another word, and I did my best not to budge an inch as Theodora and Vanessa narrowed their eyes and pointed their wands at us.
Mutata in testamento meo.
The mother-daughter duo cried out at the same time. In seconds, a cloud of silver smoke enveloped us, and I could feel the smooth and silky fabric on my body turning into a rough cloth like wool or tweed. The spell didn't last long, and when the mist parted, we all stood in the common room dressed like a group of dirt-poor peasants. The women all wore similarly styled dresses, with plain long skirts, a small white apron, and quarter-length blouses. Their hair was tied back, their fingernails were chipped and without color, and they were covered head to toe in dirt.
What the fuck? I feel like a shit-covered cow! It's even worse than I imagined.
Vesta winced as she gazed down at her new outfit.
Ugh, you'll get over it.
Vanessa grunted and rolled her eyes.
And you should also wear these.
Headmistress Theodora said as she snapped her fingers, and in seconds we were all covered in long cloaks with heavy hoods. Then her blue eyes fell on Circe, Nyx, and Vesta, and she sighed deeply before she folded her hands in front of her prominent chest.
Now, I highly suggest you three keep yourselves covered at all times. You never know who could be paying close attention, and disguised charms can only last for so long.
Yes, Headmistress. We answered in unison. We'll be careful. We always are.
I'm sorry.
Beatrix said in a high-pitched voice as she awkwardly raised her hand like she was in class.
But I still have a few more questions. So do I.
Penelope added, as her brown eyes flicked between Vanessa and Theodora.
Then ask away.
Theodora responded as she stared at the two women.
But please do not take too long. Time is of the essence. Well, where is the first artifact even located?
Penelope asked with a raised orange eyebrow.
We believe it is located in a northern woodland realm, but I will not be sending you there. Then, with all due respect...
Penelope began with her arms crossed over her chest.
Where are we going? To a kingdom known as Aether. It lies just on the outskirts of the Holy Woodland. If I used my magic to send you straight into Elder Territory, I can guarantee you Samara would sense you almost immediately, which is why this kingdom is our safest bet. Besides, I believe you'll need to find something in Aether before you can truly start the search for Samara's artifact. I have sensed a precious relic within the walls of the Holy Kingdom, and my powers reckon this other rarity will help you begin your quest. But what are we looking for exactly? Do you have any idea what treasure we should keep a lookout for? No, I'm afraid I cannot tell you that, Miss Morgana. The kingdom is vast, and the clue could be located anywhere.
but I believe in your powers, especially when they are combined. So, find the first clue, and you will find the first artifact in the woodland.
So, we don't know what the first clue looks like, but do we at least know what the first artifact is, or the other two, for that matter?
Again, that's for you to figure out. I know you have countless questions, but no one said this task would be easy. Still, I have faith in each and every one of you. And with your various skills, I'm sure you'll be able to find everything we're looking for. And we have Cole?
Cersei remarked with her chin raised.
He is the most gifted out of all of us. With our powerful master by our side, I'm sure we can accomplish anything.
She's right.
Akira added with dark, shimmering eyes.
He's our master, and we'd follow him to the very ends of the world if need be.
Satan help me.
Vanessa huffed under her breath, and she rolled her eyes so hard I thought they were going to pop out of her head.
He has shown himself to be capable. Now, with all of those questions out of the way, I think it's time to go. But before you do, I suggest you brace yourselves. This will be a rough ride. Oh, and also keep an eye out on your familiars, since they will be joining you. This will be your toughest quest yet, and I believe you could use the help of your loyal companions.
Damn straight, Jacquard!
Alexander's voice suddenly echoed inside my head. Theodora raised her arms into the air, and the room darkened as we were all wrapped up in a giant cloud of familiar purple smoke. Then it felt like my body was viciously being tugged back and forth between space and time. My stomach lunged up and down, and I could feel the sour bile rising up into my throat as we tumbled through limitless realms. Finally, the world stopped spinning, and we all landed with a brutal thud on what felt like soft grass. I kept my eyes shut for a moment so my head would stop swimming, but when I peeled them open, I saw a vast blue sky above us, littered with thick, snowy clouds. Blackbirds glided across the light canvas, and a gentle breeze swept through the air and past an early morning sun. The smell of spring flowers seeped up my nostrils, and when I gently sat up, all the women and their familiars were spread out in front of me.
It's all right, darling.
Vanessa groaned as she slowly sat up and petted her loyal wolf.
Ugh, what a tumble.
Vesta remarked as Ursula wrapped herself around the elvish witch's neck.
Well, we traveled far.
The professor commented as she stood on her feet and dusted herself off.
You heard what Theodora said. We're near Elder territory, so it was going to be one hell of a ride. And just how far away is this kingdom, Professor?
Akira asked in the politest tone she could muster.
All I can see is grass and lots of it.
It shouldn't be too far.
Vanessa grunted as she squinted her eyes and stared off into the distance.
I could use a blood star to navigate us closer.
Theodora said it would be unwise to use magic of that kind of magnitude unless it was absolutely necessary. I interjected before she could finish. Only simple charms and spells will have to do.
Which is exactly what I was about to say, Mr. Cole, before you so rudely interrupted me.
Vanessa snarled as she placed her hands on her hips.
Do you have a better idea in mind? You should go north.
A familiar voice echoed inside my mind.
Tread up the hill and follow the sun of this realm. You'll be there in a day's time.
My heart beat violently inside my chest as I listened to the dream woman's voice inside my head. And for a brief moment, I didn't trust her soothing tone, until my fingers found their way to the pendant around my neck. And at that moment, I remembered its protective powers against Samara's attempt to mask her voice as someone else's. "We need to go north," I said, as I stared straight ahead and toward a cluster of lush, green hills. "We'll have to follow the sun for a day's walk, and we should come upon their gates."
"And just how do you know that?"
"Because I do. Look, Professor, Theodora entrusted us with this mission, and for once, you're going to have to trust me and simply take my word for it. Do you think you can do that?"
"Well, I don't appreciate your tone. I think I can fucking manage."
"Excellent. Is everyone ready to go?"
"Of course, Master."
My coven answered in unison, while Beatrix and Marina nodded. When Vanessa refused to say a word, I turned briskly toward her and folded my arms in front of me. "Professor?"
"I'm ready,"
she said through gritted teeth.
"Obviously."
"Great." Alex, do us a favor and fly ahead of us to scope out the area, just in case.
You got it, Cole,
he answered in a confident voice.
I can place a charm on him to help blend in with the other birds in the skies. Would that be helpful?
It would be most helpful. I grinned. Thank you, Beatrix.
Oh, don't thank me just yet.
The light-haired brunette blushed.
I've never tried this before.
Oh, hell no!
Alexander snapped as he flew onto my shoulder and glared at the charm-skilled Wicca.
Did she just say what I think she said?
Calm down. I sighed as I rolled my eyes. She knows what she's doing.
She just said she's never tried this before!
Alexander growled inside my head.
That doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
You need to stop being a little bitch, I retorted as the others all stared at us. Would you rather take your chances flying through the skies and being shot down by a passing soldier?
No. Fine. She can disguise me. But just don't turn me into a fucking turkey or anything like that.
All right. Beatrix, do you think you can morph Alexander into something... What's the word I'm looking for?
Something sexy. Sylvia's right here, man. Make me look awesome.
Can you turn him into a raven? I asked as I shook my head.
Sure.
Beatrix nodded slowly.
Should be simple enough. In fact, I think we'd better shift all the animals. Good idea. Maybe we can disguise them as a pack of dogs. I am actually not against that idea.
Vanessa commented as she gazed down at her wolf.
Neither is she.
Perfect. I smiled before I turned my attention back to Beatrix. All right, are you ready to give it a shot?
Yeah.
She said, with more conviction in her tone.
I am.
I took a small step back and let Alexander hover in front of the light-haired brunette as she brushed back her fringe, raised her wand, and inhaled deeply.
Transmuto!
She cried out, and a burst of yellow light blasted out from the tip of her wand and hit Alexander right in the chest. My familiar's entire body convulsed before he slowly began to shift into a smaller version of himself. His red eyes turned black as night, his wolverine features melted into the face of a raven, and then he stopped twisting in the air and flew in wide circles above us.
Ha ha ha! I'm not dead! Ugh! How awesome is this? I miss my blade rings, but listen to this!
Raven Alex let out an ear-piercing caw, and then he swooped down, perched on my shoulder, and puffed out his feathers.
How cool was that?
I'm happy for you. I chuckled before I looked at the other animals. Beatrix, you'd better hurry and change the rest of them. We don't want to stay in one place for too long.
Okay.
She responded before she cleared her throat and changed each familiar into a different colored dog.
We need more normal and docile-looking creatures to accompany us while we sneak into the kingdom.
By the time she was finished, we had a pack of large, wolf-like dogs by our side, and one raven up in the sky.
Go.
The woman from my dreams echoed.
You'd better go before you waste any more light.
Agreed, I responded out loud.
What did you say, Master?
We'd better go. We can't waste another moment. Let's head for those hills. As we trekked onward and headed for the lush, green peaks, I silently prayed to Satan that we'd all make it to this Wicca-hating kingdom in one piece. We had more members with us along for this journey, and it sent a chill down my spine when I remembered I couldn't protect all of them with the pact. If they died, that would be it.